Watcher, it's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz with me, Mike Wynn. This week, we're going to try less waffle and more music. Fat chance, but let's try. I include Randy Weston this week to celebrate his 91st birthday and the fact that he's still actively gigging. I suppose I ought really to have selected a recent recording of his, but didn't. Instead, I did choose an apt title, Under Blunder, a Weston original, and recorded late August 55. Engineer Rudy Van Gelder for a Riverside LP called Get Happy, which of course is the Harold Arlen song, which is on this album as well. Sam Gill bass, Wilbert Hogan drums. From Under Blunder to Trouble in Mind. Trouble in Mind, played faster than usual by Hank Crawford, late 88. Rudy Van Gelder again in the control booth. This milestone album is called Nightbeat, and it's all in that bluesy R&B style that Crawford has been famous for since his time in the Ray Charles Band. He was also Ray's musical director for that great 50s band. Crawford on alto, fellow Ray Charles Band mate David Fathead Newman tenor, Lou Soloff and Alan Rubin trumpets, Howard Johnson baritone, Dr. John alternates between the piano and the Hammond B3, Melvin Sparks with a great four-chorus guitar solo, Walter Bascom bass, and Bernard Pretty Purdy drums. Here's one of my all-time fave songs in the New Orleans style. We seldom play the New Orleans Dixieland style, but when we do it properly. This was recorded in November 78 at a location unknown. Seems odd. You only have to ask the musos. This Columbia album is called 11. Why 11? Well, that was the age of the leader of this group and the pianist. He was Harry Connick Jr. I have to say he was an amazingly good-looking 11-year-old, which probably explains why he's so good-looking today, nearly 40 years later. Hoagy Carmichael's Lazy River, solos by Liston Johnson on clarinet and Teddy Riley, trumpet, plus the 11-year-old pianist we know about, Jim Duggan was on trombone, Walter Payton bass and Freddie Coleman drums. This next album is called In Walked Thelonious. It's Walter Davis Jr.'s tribute to his friend and mentor.
Thank you.
This is a quite stunning album throughout, and it has an interesting backstory, which I'll tell you in a minute. A solo piano recording of 15 of Monk's best-known compos. Well, 14. There are two versions of Round Midnight. We heard Monk's Mood, an early Monk ballad that went under four other titles before settling on Monk's Mood. If anyone can do a Monk tribute album, it's pianist Walter Davis Jr., as Monk had befriended and mentored the then teenage Davis. He didn't imitate Monk as such, but captures the very essence of Thelonious. And here's the interesting backstory. In prepping for this recording session, Davis practiced on an electric piano in his basement. Please let me put this in context first. This album was recorded April, May 87. Monk had died 5 years before this recording. One morning, just before the recording session, Davis called the producer to say, quote, "I sat down at my electric piano and Thelonious came into the room. I played for 3 hours and never even turned on the piano," unquote. Davis genuinely felt Monk was in his basement. And then a couple of months after this recording session, and before the album was released, this same producer was playing the tapes for the pianist Dwight Mitchell. And let me say, he didn't tell Mitchell that story about the electric piano in the basement. After just two songs, Mitchell stopped the tape and said, "I've listened to Walter all my life. I know exactly how he plays. What's on this tape is not Walter. It's Monk playing through Walter's hands." Yes, it's very easy to be sceptical about that, but do please try and find this Mapleshade album. It's called In Walked Thelonious. It's Ellington time. Around the centennial of Ellington's birth, Columbia Records re-released all of Ellington's albums that he'd recorded for them, plus some bonus tracks. This is the early 58 LA recorded album, Blues in Orbit, and that was an alternate take of the title song. No less an authority than trumpeter Clark Terry, who was in the band at the time, wondered why they chose take one as the master. Clark Terry thought that maybe Duke was happier with what he, the Duke, had played on that one. But overall, Clark thought this this alternate take sounded better, and there are also two versions of a number I've never played on The Real Enjoyment, track 360. I've just made myself a note to play one of them for you next week. You'll love it. We talked of Ray Charles earlier. He's on piano on this next one. La 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 Recorded in New York, August 99, under the leadership of trombonist Steve Touré, it's three separate recording sessions spread over a couple of months with a different pianist per session. We chose the one with the genius, Ray Charles, on piano. Fabulous solo by him. And I dithered quite a bit over the yet another version of the standard Misty. But wasn't that the biz? Peter Washington was on bass and Steve's younger bro, Peter, on drums. This CD is entitled In the Spur of the Moment. I think we Brits would say on the spur rather than in. On in, who's counting? Apart from Jean-Claude Juncker, of course. It's contrast time. This is Magnum Mysterium. Thank you. recorded May 2007 in the cathedral in Stockholm. Jan Lundgren on piano, an arranger, I must add, and Lars Danielsson, bass and cello. Cello there on Kyrie from Missa de Carnival. And that wonderful singing was from the Gustav Jokvist Chamber Choir. We won't debate the question, is that jazz at all? No need to say anything anymore. But obviously, this next one will be a contrast again. We played Ray Bryant a week or so back from volume 2 of his tribute to fellow jazz pianists. Well, this is from the first volume, and it was obviously Ramsey Lewis's The In Crowd, a major hit for Ramsey in the 60s. June 97, Ray Drummond bass, Winard Harper drums. This next one's recorded in Copenhagen in October 63. There's a very, very young bass player in the house rhythm section at the famous Montmartre Jazz Hus.
Thank you.
However, Montmartre in Copenhagen in the 60s was the place to be, as close to the real thing as any jazz club in the world. So it was an enormous tribute to the bassist's innate skill on his instrument that Niels Henning Ørsted Pedersen joined the house band at 16. He was still only 17 when this Saab Shihab gig was recorded, October 63, as I've mentioned. That was a Shihab original, Conversations Part 2. I chose that against Parts 1 and 3 because it was the shortest. Shihab on flute on Conversations Part 2. He'd settled in Copenhagen that year and was a resident there for over 20 years. The rest of the group are Denmark's finest. Alan Bochinski on flugelhorn, Ola Molin guitar, NHOP of course on bass, Alex Real drums. It's a Hammond B3 next. Talking of Hammond B3 organs, I've just bought a 2LP record of a gig by two of the giants of the instrument, Groove Holmes and Jimmy McGriff, their entire concert together in Boston. The stage looks like a second-hand furniture shop, and I must say, one Hammond B3 is enough. Two is too much. Back at last to this record. It's the diminutive Japanese pianist Shihiro Yamanaka on the B3, and taking to it like the proverbial duck, Yoshi Wacky on bass and John Davis drums, recorded in New York, June 2011. There's no photo of the Hammond B3 to see if it's an original or a new one. Hammond started production of the new B3 in 2002, the same sound, but using digital tech. Question, will you know the guitarist on this next one? Sorry, you will know him. Will you recognise him? From an EP called Bobby Jasper and Sasha Distel. The impossibly good-looking Distel was a well-respected jazz guitarist before he started singing and became a professional French charmer. Bobby Jasper has long been Belgium's best tenor man. Bobby Byers is on trombone and he wrote that song. Sasha, Bill, a Bobby. He also did the arrangements. René Utrega, piano, Paul Revere, bass and Al Levitt, drums, recorded in Paris, September 57. Let's have a vocal, an R&B-ish one, for our penultimate track. Yes, the Willie Dixon blues classic Spoonful, recorded in Chicago early September 1960. Etta James was the singer. She covers a wide variety of so-called genres, but there is some jazz in there. She was accompanied on Spoonful by fellow singer Harvey Fuqua. The other musos are unknown. Spoonful was an Etta James single, a 45, on the Chess label. Here's the very last one, and we should just fit it all in, hope so. This was recorded in Tokyo, June 98, and I've got it on the Japanese Paddle Wheel label. All the liner notes are, naturally, in Japanese, but I can tell you of this truly international lineup. Leader and trumpeter Dusko Gojkovic was born in the then Serbia, but lived most of his professional life in Germany. Gianni Basso, tenor, Italian-born, but spent most of his professional life in Belgium and Germany before he went back to Italy. Peter Majlik, piano, a Slovak. Luigi Trussardi on bass, and he's French, despite that Italian-sounding name. Lastly, a local boy from Tokyo. Masahiko Asaka, drums. Yes, we can call that international. The song is a Gojkovic original, named after either a hotel or one of the four administrative quarters that make up the 6th arrondissement in Paris. It's Saint-Germain-des-Prés. Thank you. that's all for this week, I'm afraid. But if you'd like to join me, Mike Wynne, next week, we'll have another episode of The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Be well.